Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. A few years ago, there was a Mensa convention in San Francisco. Mensa, of course, is the organization whose members have an IQ of 140 or higher. Well, several of the Mensa members were lunching at a local cafe. While dining, they discovered that their salt shaker contained pepper and that their pepper shaker was full of salt. The Mensa members, being naturally inquisitive, began to question how they could swap the contents of the two bottles without spilling any of the contents, using only the implements at hand. After all, this was clearly a job for the best minds available. The group debated and presented ideas and finally came up with a brilliant solution involving a napkin, a straw, and an empty saucer. They called the waitress to their table, convinced that they would dazzle her with their solution. "Ma'am," they said, "we couldn't help but notice that the pepper shaker contains salt and the salt shaker contains pepper." "Oh," said the waitress, when they finally had gotten her attention, "sorry about that." And without further comment, the waitress unscrewed the caps of both bottles, switched the caps, and then said, "Will that be one check or separate checks?" Jesus described his followers as the salt of the earth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, as part of the Sermon on the Mount. "You are the salt of the earth," he says there. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. In Matthew's gospel, these words follow the Beatitudes and are often interpreted as referring to Jesus' expectations of his disciples. Mark, our gospel for today, uses the same imagery. "Salt is good," he said, "but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again?" Bible scholar William Barclay interpreted Jesus' words like this: "When a thing loses its essential quality and fails to perform its essential duty, it is fit for nothing but to be thrown away." In those days, Jesus's days, salt was a really valuable commodity. Salt was valuable for two reasons. It served as a preservative for food, and it served to enhance its flavor. We all know how essential salt is for enhancing the taste of food. On some of our most popular foods, salt really does bring out the flavor. In 1853, George Crumb, a chef in New York, accidentally invented a popular new dish. An annoying patron kept sending his French fried potatoes back to the kitchen because they were soggy. In an attempt to teach the customer a lesson, Crumb sliced the fries extra thin, fried them to a crisp, and then drowned them in salt. To his surprise, however, the complaining customer actually liked the converted fries, and thus potato chips was born. What would potato chips taste like without salt? Or French fries, for that matter? Or, as my wife would ask, popcorn? When Christ said that we are the salt of the earth, perhaps he was saying that we should bring flavor to life, just as he brought flavor to life. Years ago, a woman named Marge wrote a columnist Ann Landers with a complaint. In her letter, Marge said, "I'm 44. Husband, same age. Swell guy. We get along okay. No drinking, no gambling, no skirt chasing. He has a good job and our home is paid for. Our children are healthy and normal. They do well in school, and the three older ones, teenagers, have never caused us any trouble. So why am I writing?" Marge writes. "Because my life is blah. Something is missing. It's like stew without salt. I feel a certain emptiness." I'm sure some of us can identify with Marge and her complaint. Many people in our society have that emptiness within their lives. Like this woman, their lives are blah. Something is missing. As this woman described her life, it's like stew without salt. How do we bring flavor to people's lives? Well, we do it by showing genuine concern. We let them know that somebody cares for them. One Saturday in a small town in Michigan, there was a 5K foot race. This race featured a different age classes of runners. A 9-year-old boy in the race named Bowden was showing signs of fatigue. Behind him, a 19-year-old Marine, Lance Corporal Miles Kerr, noticed that Bowden was struggling. Miles offered him some encouragement. Bowden looked up at Miles and asked, "Sir, will you please run with me?" As you know, Marines do not leave their fallen buddies behind, even if that fallen buddy is a 9-year-old. It took almost 40 minutes for Bowden and Kyle to run that race together. Their story was carried on the Facebook page, Seal of Honor, which added these words: "By this unwavering commitment to help those in need through his ability to inspire others by his unequivocal level of motivation, Lance Corporal Miles Kerr reflected great credit upon himself and was keeping in the highest traditions of the United States Marine Corps." I would like to think that the followers of Jesus would be as kind and as helpful to anyone who is struggling, just as that Marine was. Anytime we show genuine concern for someone else, we're making this world a better place. We're adding flavor to their lives. We're showing ourselves to be the salt of the earth. Recently, I read about another woman named Martha, who was fortunate enough to run into a group of women who would most certainly qualify as the salt of the earth. Martha was a 26-year-old woman with ALS, sometimes referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease. Martha needed help. When this group of women from Evanston, Illinois, heard about Martha, they jumped into action. They began giving Martha round-the-clock nursing care. They bathed her, they fed her, and they prayed for her. Martha, who was not a Christian, couldn't understand how a loving God could let her get ALS in the first place. But when she saw God's love in these women, eventually she too became a believer. Jesus said to his followers that they were the salt of the earth. It's a high compliment. We are to bring flavor to the lives of everyone around us by our genuine concern for others. That's the first thing that salt does. It brings flavor to food. Traditionally, however, salt has played even a more important role in the lives of human beings. For many generations, it was the only real preservative humanity had for food. Indeed, before the modern miracle of refrigeration, people were quite limited in the foods that they could enjoy because they were limited in preserving food for later use, especially meat. In his book, Salt for Society, author W. Philip Keller recounts many of his experiences as a youngster growing up in East Africa. His family lived at the equator under severe tropical conditions. There was no refrigeration available to them for the first 18 years of his life. And as a result, his family had no way of preserving meat, fish, fruit, or vegetables, except for salt. Like so many generations before them, they used salt to preserve their food. Meat in particular would rapidly decay under the hot weather conditions of the equator. And salt was the only ingredient that could slow such a process. Keller recalls how tons and tons of beef, lamb, and wild game meat were cut up into slender strips of flesh that were then soaked in a salt solution. Then those strips would be hung to dry in the fierce sunlight, becoming what we in America call jerky. Keller never took anything but jerky with him when he went out hunting. It made for a light but nourishing meal for the young hunter. Salt both preserved the food in the intense heat and offered him great strength when it was consumed. That's always been so. Salt was so valuable that soldiers of the Roman Empire received an allowance of salt as part of their pay. Thus, the origin of the English word salary. During the Civil War, General Sherman of the Union Army charged one of his captains with aiding the enemy for letting the rebels acquire salt. "Without salt, they cannot make bacon and salt beef," said the Confederate. He said about the Confederate troops, "Salt is eminently contraband because of its use in curing meats, which the armies cannot subsist without." We simply cannot overemphasize how important salt was to earlier societies or how important it is to our own. The question is, how do we, as followers of Christ, serve as a preservative in our time? Well, here's my answer. Are we not those who've been entrusted with the task of preserving for future generations the good news of Jesus? Isn't that the essential task of Christians, to be a witness to a presence in this world? I'm reminded of a popular TV commercial that some golfers might remember. Two golfers are swatting golf balls around a golf course. A voiceover accompanies their efforts. Green fees, $116. Graphite shaft clubs, $877. Lunch at the turn, $13.50. Balls, tees, $36. And then the clincher. As one miraculous shot bounces across the green into the cup, hole in one, observed by a witness, priceless. There are some things money can't buy, but for everything else, there's MasterCard. If I ever hit a hole in one, or if I ever bowled a 300 game, or if I ever caught a record-setting largemouth bass, that's what I'd want, a witness. Otherwise, nobody'd ever believe it. What Jesus wants are witnesses, people who will witness to this generation that Christ is alive and at work in the world, people who will testify to the difference Jesus has made in our lives. People, because of their credibility, will make it possible to preserve the teachings of Christ for later generations. We each need to ask the question whether our lives would convince people that Christ is alive by the difference he's made in our lives. Are we leading lives that will witness for Jesus? A man named Jeffrey Collins tells a story about when Jeffrey was very, very ill. He says it was 5 o'clock on an afternoon, and he was looking forward to a relaxing evening. But suddenly, Jeffrey became quite ill. So he called up his friend, Bill. Jeffrey, it turned out, was suffering from AIDS. And he says to Bill, "I'm really sick. I've got a fever. Please help me." Though he tried not to show it, this angered his friend, Bill. After a 60-hour work week, he didn't want to hear about it from Jeffrey. Even people whose lives are devoted to doing good can sometimes suffer from what has been called compassion fatigue. But Bill promised to be right over. Still, during the drive over, he complained to God about this inconvenience. He said the moment he walked in the door, he could smell the vomit. Jeffrey was on the sofa, shivering in distress. So Bill wiped his forehead, then he got a bucket of soapy water to clean up the mess. He managed to maintain a facade of concern, even though he was raging inside. Then Jeffrey's friend, Russ, who also had AIDS, came down the stairs. The odor also made him sick. As he cleaned the carpet around the chair, Bill said he was ready to explode inside. Here he was, cleaning up after two men, not just one. Then suddenly Russ stared at him, and he said, "I understand," he blunted out. "I understand." "What, Russ?" Jeffrey asked weakly. "I understand who Jesus is," Russ said through his tears. "He's like Bill." Suddenly, Bill began to weep. He got up and he hugged Russ, and then they all prayed together. A few years ago, a very popular Christian book came out titled Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, authored by Rebecca Manley Pippert. "Salt is good," Jesus said, "but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again?" Well, Miss Pippert's thesis in her book is, salt is good, but if salt stays in the salt shaker, what good is it? How can it flavor life if it stays in the salt shaker? How can it preserve food if it stays in the salt shaker? How do we get the salt that will change our world out of the salt shaker? Really, she says, there's only one way, and that's for the followers of Jesus to live as Christ lived, showing us his love for all the world to see. "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus said. But if the salt loses its saltiness, How can it be made salty again? There's only one way for that to happen. That is by each of us to draw closer to Jesus and show his love, let it radiate through us, showing the world just who Jesus was. You are the salt of the world, said Jesus. Amen.